Shepherd Sunday, and I don't know, you probably have heard, I grew up on a farm. We didn't have sheep on the farm, but we had cattle, and so my dad, with the cows, would go out from time to time and call them, and they would come running, right? They knew that he had food, usually, but even when I took the food out there and called them, they would just look at me. Who is this guy? We don't think we can trust him, right? But that's the beautiful thing in the gospel. The sheep know that they can trust the master's voice. How many times have I said in my prayer, Lord, I don't have a clue as to what I'm doing. You ever feel that way? It's kind of a desperate plea for guidance and direction. A shout out for a shepherd. In the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, St. Peter and the 11 stand up on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes down upon the church and the church is born. And Peter preaches his first sermon, and it's a good one. I highly encourage you to take some time today or tomorrow and read the whole sermon. There in Acts chapter 2. We get just a very small snippet here this evening. It's not just that Peter makes compelling arguments. More importantly, it's that Peter himself is filled with the Holy Spirit. How is it that the apostles baptized 3,000 persons in one day? Not because Peter had a rip-roaring sermon, though it was pretty good. But because the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and they were literally on fire. Tongues as of fire settled on them when the Spirit came down. And then their tongues became Spirit-led. Their whole attitude, their whole demeanor, their whole person became alive, bright with the Holy Spirit. That's what we want to be as well, how we need to be. Among those words that Peter spoke that day were, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. First of all, Peter's doing what Jesus did. Jesus' first words in the gospel were, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, Peter replaces that phrase, the kingdom of God is at hand, with the phrase, be baptized. Baptism is how we draw near the kingdom of God. And the second half of his words is confirmation, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Both of those has to include repentance. The more we repent, the more we'll be open to the Holy Spirit that we've already received in baptism and have, or hopefully soon will, receive in confirmation. Repentance opens up the Spirit's ability to act and work in us. In the second reading, we heard the words of St. Peter again. Christ did good and suffered for it. Because the powers of this world are opposed to the true and the good. The beautiful thing is that Christ not only suffered for doing good, he offered his suffering for us, for you and me, right? There on the cross, he did that for us. And so St. Peter says that we must be willing to suffer for the good too. And we shouldn't be surprised when suffering happens because the powers of this world haven't changed since the time of Christ. They're still not happy with the true and the good today. The rest of that second reading includes one of my favorite lines. Peter quotes from the prophet Isaiah, and Peter applies it to Jesus. By his wounds, you have been healed. That by itself is worth pondering for the rest of the week. The wounds of Christ are healing me, are healing us. In the gospel, Jesus uses a series of images. There's the sheepfold and the pasture. The sheepfold is a place of shelter where the sheep can find rest after a long day. I think that's a great image of the church, where we come after a long week to find rest and safety and security and healing and refreshment. The pasture could be described as our mission field and fulfilling our mission to live and proclaim the gospel in the world is what nourishes and gives us life. The gate is Christ himself. It's interesting, the gospel says that the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Later on, he describes himself as the good shepherd. So the implication is there are other shepherds as well in the image of the good shepherd. In some ways, parents are called to fulfill that image of the shepherd. And we can do that if we enter through the gate, if we enter through Jesus, if we have a close relationship with Jesus, then we become shepherds as well in the image of the good shepherd. He describes himself as, first of all, as the gate. He's the mediator. He's the way. He's the door to the Heavenly Father, to the church, and to living mission fruitfully. So I want to spend the rest of our time talking about the thieves and the gatekeepers. The thieves are those who like to try to act like shepherds, but who are really sheep. They're sinners, but they're too proud or arrogant to think that they could possibly be mere sheep. Anyone here think, I'm not a sheep? Don't put me in that kind of a category. Well, pay attention to that. What aspect of being a sheep is beneath your pride? Maybe you believe you're better suited to be a shepherd. So do the thieves. Thieves always know better. So they usually try to bully the rest of the sheep into listening to them because, after all, they're too good to be mere sheep. But they are sheep. Sinners. Like you and me. The Pharisees didn't want to admit to that. Sometimes you and I don't want to admit to that. The pride of those Pharisees led them to prefer the rule of the tyrant Caesar in Rome over the good shepherd in Jerusalem. If our pride balks at being Jesus' sheep, it won't be long till, in a similar sort of way, we start chasing after some worldly leader with charisma, a new political figure, a new celebrity, new religious leader even. But if we really embrace Jesus as our shepherd, then it doesn't matter if we like the personality of the Pope or the president or the pastor, because we'll always be listening for the voice of the sheep. Lastly, there's the gatekeeper who directs people in and out through the gate. Later in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is on trial before the high priest, it describes a gatekeeper there as a maid, a lowly servant girl, who was key for getting Peter in through the gate into the courtyard of the high priest. The same gatekeeper gives Peter a chance to witness to Jesus when she asks him, aren't you also one of this man's disciples? Aren't you also one of this man's disciples? And Peter struggled with that. Right? So the gatekeeper both brings people to the gate and calls the sheep to witness to Jesus. The gatekeeper isn't about herself. In the gospel, we never even hear what her name is. Rather, she's all about the gate, all about Jesus. The Pharisees, they want to be important, maybe like you and me sometimes. But if only they'd humble themselves, like a lowly maidservant, like sheep, they could take one of the most important roles among the sheep, the gatekeeper, pointing people to the gate and getting people to confess that they're disciples of Jesus. I want to be a gatekeeper. I want to ask everyone here, if you're a sheep of Jesus, aren't you also one of his disciples? And I want to call you all to come through the gate to Holy Communion, where you'll be nourished by the delights of the Father, where your souls will find protection against the spiritual dangers that surround us in the world. Come to this gate. Enter this gate and be a witness of faith in Jesus. He's the gate and the shepherd of our souls. If you don't have a clue as to what you're doing, come to the gate. Our first communicants will be doing that here shortly, right? Are you ready for that? Excited for that? Well, here's the homework for the week. First of all, repent. And secondly, be a gatekeeper. Be a gatekeeper this week and point someone to Jesus. Open the door for someone to come to Jesus.